Alright, welcome back to the show. Len Martez with you. It's the segment that a lot of us love to spend time and listen to, and I certainly like to spend time with this man, Chris Coleman of TextAlan.com. What's up, Chris? How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself, Len?
Let's get started, man, because you and I always discuss things, and before I know it, the time passes us by, and as they say, the old cliche, time flies when you're having fun. So, although we do see each other twice a week now, so we'll deal with today. We'll deal with last Saturday. First impressions, I want to know at about, let's see, about 12, roughly about 12:30, about 12:35, 12:40 or so, certain quarterback with the number 7 in maroon and orange doing a deception, first play from scrimmage, first play offensively for the Hokies. Give me your thoughts.
It was supposed to be a deep ball to Eddie Royal was a primary read. Royal wasn't open. They had Harper coming across the field, and at first he wasn't open. Then Glennon felt a little pressure up the middle and kind of moved a little bit to his right, and Brandon Orr is coached to, when he thinks the quarterback is scrambling to his side of the field like that, to turn it up the field to try to beat the linebacker deep so Glennon could make a throw. Glennon stopped scrambling and was going to throw it to Harper, who would become open and would come across the field, but Orr drug his defender right into the passing lane. So, you know, I'll give that one 60% Glennon. Nah, you know, two-thirds Glennon, because I don't think he put enough mustard on the ball. One-third Orr. I'm not even really going to blame Orr, though, because he thought Glennon was scrambling. Just a miscommunication, you know, first play of the year for the offense. You know, other than that, I didn't have that many problems with the passing game. But, yeah, I kind of had my hands on my head when that happened.
At first glance, you know what it looked like? It looked like he just threw with double coverage.
It looked like he just threw in a double coverage. Yeah. But what happened was Orr just drug his defender just right into the line of the ball. You know, it's one of those things where as soon as you let go of it, you want it back because you see what's happening then.
Now, let me ask you this. As far as the time that he had through the four quarters, tell me what you're thinking, because me watching the game, there's times where I actually thought he had time to make plays. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought he played pretty well. I thought overall the offensive line did a pretty good job protecting. They gave up 4 sacks. One of those was on the fullback, Carlton Weatherford, who just, you know, flat out missed a guy coming up the middle, didn't block him. The other one was a sack that everybody thought was on Nick Marshman. It was the one where Glennon fumbled. Marshman blocked down on the defensive tackle, and the defensive end came through untouched, and everybody thought, you know, it was Marshman's fault. Actually, the call on that was a slide left, where the whole offensive line slides to the left for a quick pass to the left. Brandon Orr goes to the right and chips the defensive end because it's a short drop and you don't need that much time to throw. Brandon Orr, we're going to bring up Brandon Orr again, missed his assignment and went straight ahead rather than to the right. So nobody touched that defensive end. It was just a flat-out blown assignment by Orr. The offensive line was decent, better than I thought they would be pass protecting. Marsh, you know, they got tired. It really seemed like they broke down in the second half. You know, they didn't substitute any at all. You know, Nick Marshman's a big guy. He got tired in the fourth quarter. The most disappointing thing was run blocking.
Len Martez and ESPN 1430, joined by Chris Coleman of TextSideline.com. Catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champ Sports Bar. You mentioned the run blocking. What went wrong for the most part? Because to me, it seemed like there weren't many holes.
No, there weren't many holes. Part of it is Tech tried a lot of zone blocking, and they had a new left guard in there, a guy who hadn't even been playing left guard until the start at practice this week. And when you do a lot of zone blocking, you better be a cohesive unit that's used to play
Absolutely.
Next to each other.
Continuity.
Yeah, you know, Richard Graham, you know, he's played every position on the line since he's been at Tech, but this preseason he'd been working at backup right tackle, and once they figured out Matt Welsh and Brandon Holland couldn't do the job, they just moved Graham back to left guard, where he hadn't been this entire preseason. He played right guard back in the spring. I don't guess he's been at left guard since last season, so, you know, he just got a week to work on that. And then, you know, they also put Matt Welsh in there some, and, you know, he's just not that great of a player. He's had 2 or 3 knee surgeries throughout his career that set him back. And Graham's a really hard worker. I never thought he'd be in the 2 deep at Tech from the way he looked coming out of high school. He was a Plan C recruit, I'll put it that way. Credit to him, he's worked his way into the starting lineup, you know, partially because there's nobody else to put in there. And he's only a sophomore. He still needs to add strength. That's his main problem.
The zone blocking could also explain why Marshman whiffed on the play that Glennon got popped on to. Marshman, right tackle. Clearly, a guy just comes right in and hits Glennon. What happened on that play?
You know, I don't know. I know there was one play-action pass late in the second half where Marshman just got beat around the edge, just flat-out got beat. On the one where Glennon got hit almost literally as soon as he took the snap, that was actually Orr. That was the slide pass to the left where everybody was supposed to block down to the left. Orr was supposed to come right and chip the defensive end to allow for a short pass to the left. You know, blown assignment by Orr on that one. So a couple of sacks you attribute to the running backs, actually. I'd say the offensive line only gave up two. From a pass blocking standpoint, could have been a lot worse. Could have been a lot better, but I've definitely seen worse around these parts.
Len Montez in ESPN 1430, joined by Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champs Sports Bar. And Chris, there's a thing that I like to think that the good teams don't actually do as well as the great teams. It's a lot of things, but there's one thing in particular, and that is, would it be inside the 10, scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay? You've got to get seven when seven's in front of you.
Yeah. Okay.
First off, on that Hyman catch, 37-yard completion, Hyman could have easily walked into the end zone. Any other quarterback, a lot of other quarterbacks, complete that play, the great teams, that quarterback on a great team, that's a touchdown anywhere else.
Yeah, well, you see, it's funny how people view that play. I've talked to a lot of people about that play, and most of them think, even after looking at it on the replay, that Hyman didn't have to jump. They thought he could have kept going and caught the ball in stride, that he didn't have to jump, and then when he jumped, he lost his footing and fell down. You know, it's tough to say. Looking at it live, I thought Glennon overthrew it a little bit. Looking at it on film, you know, I can say that I think maybe Hyman could have caught running. I don't know. It's tough to make that call on that point, but you bring up a good point. The story of Virginia Tech's offense is always missed opportunities. You have receivers falling down on the 5-yard line, whether it's his fault, whether it's the quarterback's fault, I don't know. The fact is the receiver's wide open and falls down on the 5-yard line. You get down there inside the 5, you get shut down on a running play, then you get sacked, and then there's a bad throw in the corner of the end zone. It just seems like, you know, there's always something missing on Tech's offense. There's always some kind of missed assignment. You after every game, you look back and say, if they had done this, if they had done that, but you know, they rarely do it. You know, they just don't take advantage of their opportunities a lot of times.
See, if you want to win a BCS bowl game, if you want to win a national championship, there can't be any ifs. Chris.
Absolutely,
you got to close drives out. Okay, the one thing that Dunleavy should not have on his ending stats at the end of the year is a field goal less than 30 yards, because that means you stalled inside the 10.
You're exactly right.
And then on top of that, you mentioned the bad pass. That was on the same drive. You're supposed to – that's two chances you get to score 7 points. You cannot be a great football team without getting 7 points, and you're not going to get that opportunity a lot of times for certain teams. That was East Carolina. You get that chance on Saturday, you better get 7 points.
Absolutely. It's like I told you over the summer, man, welcome to Virginia Tech football. Welcome to Virginia Tech football. I mean, you know, Tech didn't win the ACC championship in 2005 because their offensive line got dominated by Florida State in the ACC title. They arguably didn't win it last year because the offensive line couldn't block anybody. You know, if they don't win it this year, you know, there's another good chance it's going to be because of their offense. You know, I mean, it's always the defense propping up Virginia Tech's football program. The offense will go out and play well against overmatched opponents, but when you get a team out there with good talent, it just seems like they're chasing their tail and missing opportunities like we're talking about. And you know, it's been that way for quite some time now, and a lot of people are getting a little tired of it. Trust me, I monitor my message boards every day.
Len Montez in ESPN 1430, joined by Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champ Sports Bar. Let's talk about ECU, the other side, and how well they played. Granted, they lose by 10 points, but they played in a very tough environment, tough day to play. Give them a lot of credit, losing their quarterback 4 days before the actual game was played. Were you impressed with how they played?
I was very impressed with East Carolina, not only their players, especially on defense, but their coaching also. You can, a lot of times you can just tell when a team is well prepared to play a football game, and they were very well prepared. You know, we talked last week about how terribly prepared Mississippi State was for LSU by asking their quarterback, who can't throw, to throw the ball deep down the middle into the teeth of LSU's defense, and you didn't see any of that from East Carolina when they had Pat Pinkney in the game. It was short passing. It was running. It was clock control, field position battle. That was their only chance to win the game. And they didn't almost win it, but, you know, they played very well. But because that was their strategy, and if Tech had turned the ball over a couple more times, and maybe it's a different story. But I thought they were very well prepared. I also thought defensively, front seven, you know, those guys are just good. What really impressed me was their tackling. You know, you saw very few broken tackles by Tech players. Those guys came up, they hit hard, they wrapped up. Quentin Cotton might be the best linebacker Tech sees all year. Leon Best, he gave up the touchdown pass to Sam Wheeler, but he's a really good tackling cornerback. And, you know, I think those guys have got a chance in Conference USA. You're going to see them in another bowl game this year.
Len Martez on ESPN, 1430, joined by Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Chance Sports Bar. Before we let you go, I want to know your comments as far as Sergio Render, right guard, waking up the sleeping giant, so to speak, talking about LSU's All-American defensive tackle Glenn Dorsey. Your thoughts about talking about not backing down, he puts his pants on the same way we do, we can pancake him, all those types of things against a guy that's routinely used to getting double-teamed.
You know, I've seen things like this through covering Tech football a few times, and you know, it rarely comes to fruition during the game, like the big battle that everybody expects. Emotion can only take you so far in college football. It's about going in there and executing your assignments. I wasn't there. I don't know the context as far as Sergio's comments go, but at the same time, Sergio's a guy, he's Tech's best lineman. He's out there getting 9 pancake blocks against East Carolina while nobody else is doing anything, basically, to put it totally bluntly. So I'd much rather have Sergio Render blocking Glenn Dorsey than anybody else on Tech's offensive line. I just don't think that much is going to come out of it. I think it's something that fans, sports writers, and the like, I think they like to talk about it, but when it comes down to it on the field, you know, Glenn Dorsey's only going to be lined up over Render roughly half the time because they switch him off, whether weak side, strong side, whatever. I just don't think it's going to be the big deal that a lot of people think it's going to be.
Before we let you go, I got to ask you this question. I've been meaning to ask you for a couple of weeks now. Heir apparent to Brandon Orr, who is it?
Man,
that's not the answer we were looking for. The Hokie Nation wasn't looking for laughter.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here, maybe somewhat, and say Darren Evans. He's redshirting this year. I was really impressed with him in the scrimmages. I just really like the way he's a patient runner. He sets up his blocks. He's a big guy, but he kind of makes himself small behind that offensive line. Just a really patient runner. In some ways, he kind of reminds me of Orr as far as being able to read the hole, setting up his block. You know, he's bigger than Orr, not as fast. I think he's a guy that can carry 220 pounds and be a power back. And I think you're going to see him on the field quite a bit next year.
All right, Chris, thanks for the time, man. Good information. We'll talk on Friday. We'll break down the LSU Hokies game on Friday.
Sounds good. Have
thanks,
a good
one. All right, Len Martinez here with you. Got one more segment to go. Chris Coleman on ESPN 1430. Chris Coleman brought to you by Champ Sports Bar. I forgot Champ's name for a second. Don't look at me crazy, Antoine Wilson. Be right back on ESPN 1430.